This is a key important. This is a main thing. Ukuthi with African spirituality, you are not an individual. So when you get into a relationship, it is not only you who's getting into a relationship. It's you and your ancestors. It's a relationship between clans. That is why people, if they are going to be, they will always be told, it's because you are never alone.
This is the third episode of Umoya on African Spirituality. I'm Atambile Masola.
And I'm Melissa Tando Bongela. On this episode, we unpack the metaphysics of ukujola. We're not just talking about going to church or doing yoga or meditation with your partner. We want to understand the spiritual implications of our intimate relationships.
The questions about the metaphysics of ukujola emerged from my own divorce. I had to think deeply about the spirituality of intimacy, and more importantly, what did I need to learn from the previous relationship if I was going to heal and grow from the experience? It was while reading Sabonfu Some's book, The Spirit of Intimacy, Ancient Teaching in the Ways of Relationships, that I had to reckon with the fact that everything they say about intimacy, in particular marriage, is true. This is an extension of our lives in spirit. Therefore, the divorce rates we read about, or the reluctance people have towards marriage, is a result of removing spirit from our lives. Without a spiritual framework in the most intimate parts of our lives, we cannot experience this part of our lives fully because we have removed it from the vast spiritual landscape it is a part of.
Our conversation is with healers Vela Maseko and Mpho Makanya. Vela is a clinical psychologist in Sangoma who integrates Western and African modalities of healing in her practice. And Mpho is a healer who facilitates conversations amongst young people asking questions about African spirituality.
So, my intentions for this show, this episode, is to unpack the spiritual implications of the intimate relationships that we have, and to talk about the things that we take for granted, and to unpack some of the things that people have a sense of but haven't been quite able to put a language to it, because there's such a mystery around, not so much intimacy in and of itself, but there's a mystery about the implications of it. So we know what it looks like, but we don't sometimes always know about what it actually means at a metaphysical level. So that's my hope for the conversation.
Mine is to understand, what are we doing wrong when we enter relationships? What do we not know when we enter relationships? And why is love so much more distant than it could be? Izindoni esingazenziyo okanye esingazaziyo. Xa sisithi, oh, ndifuna ukujola. I met a nice girl, I met a nice guy, and I want to get close to them. And we get in and out of relationships. It becomes a loop. You end up feeling like unesichitho okanye awuthandwa, or there's something wrong with you. Is there something else that we are missing? And I want to unpack what that thing is that we're missing. As contemporary Africans living in the 21st century who have access to knowledge systems that are thousands of years old, what can we learn from our ancestors about how to relate, about how to love, about how to be in love?
So our first question that we always ask is, tell us about your name. And in your case, it's probably tell us about your names. So we'll start with you, Sisvela.
Okay. My name is Uvela, spelled V-E-L-A. But it was changed to V-E-L-L-A by Amanda Messemans of Home Affairs many years ago, who happens to be Afrikaner guys. Yeah, but what it means is Vela Bonagala, you know. I was long awaited, because the date of birth was long overdue, so I took my time. but I was first called Nontsikelelo, and it was changed I would like to believe what if they then realized, or maybe the ancestors spoke about the name, because I'm told it was changed after a few weeks.
Mm.
So I was named Uvela. I've got many names now. I then found out ukuthi I am also Uputuni. From isinyanyasami singumthwa. I also learned ukuthi nguzebere dia isilwele singumndawo. And then ngesixhosa ndinguphezu kwehlathi. So all these names, they define who I am.
Mm.
You know. Because uzebedia, I later learned a few years ago, actually, uguti, it means a prophet or something.
In what language?
It's Shona.
Mm. And Putuni?
Is Isitwa. I don't know what it means.
Mm.
I don't know what it means. Yes. Yeah, those are my names. Is that all you want to know?
Really?
Those names. Yeah.
Go, keep going. There's more.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe we're also answering good. How did I get here?
Okay, that's in the
part
next
two.
One.
That's the next part.
Yeah.
Okay. When Mpo?
I was born in Mpumakanye, and ikamlam lobungoma umakanye kude. So I don't know what's the story behind Umpo, except to say I'm the second born child, and my brother Umbu is in. So mom is Tswana, dad is Zulu. So I understand the politic was that you can't have both kids named
mm-hmm.
after the Zulu people. So I became Umpo. But Umakanye Kude then becomes the name after being born again. Born again, African.
You know? I love that.
Yeah, after being born again, that. And then, you know, you go into trance, and mm-hmm. as you align yourself with your higher purpose, there's a name connected to the new, call it new soul that is born,
mm.
and that is reborn, and the new path that the soul is meant to now begin to walk. So yeah, Makanya Kude became the name. And then I discovered Uguti there. Makanya Kude is also, well, I'm a reincarnate of a healer that used to stay in Mhlabe, what is now called Mhlabe Alingan in KZN. And yeah, I have reincarnated in Pretoria, Soshanguve. Here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. This question is usually followed by what is your current spiritual practice and how did you arrive at it? And in your cases, obviously that root also means ba natwasa. So can you tell us the stories of how you arrived at where you are mm-hmm. and where are you?
The journey.
Currently I am a healer, practicing healer in Ndumba, Guam, and I'm also a clinical psychologist. I practice in Midrand as well as a Vista, which is a psychiatric clinic. My journey to get here has been, it was a very long journey. I know that it's a journey that I traveled from the day I was born in this lifetime. Because when I look back, there are signs, a lot of experiences that in retrospect, I realized that I've always known that I was a healer.
Mm.
You know, but being born in a Christian family, so traditional religion, it's something that you don't practice. So I know we were told ukuthi if kukhinto zamagqirha ungaboya apho and yebo you must avoid them. But other than that, I always had this fear every time I saw umuntu ligqirha, and my fear was always about ukuthi I feel like something's going to happen to me if I come close to this person. you know. And yeah, I've always known what it is if something will happen. And when it comes to being intuitive, I've been always been very intuitive. And if I have a thought, and a different kind of a thought, and I would know what if I think this way, or if I think in this voice, in this tone, if I sense this, I know it will definitely happen. You know, so yeah. Then we moved from Mabubane to Eastern Cape. Eastern Cape, this is when it became clear. I was able to see things that other people could not see with their naked eye. But the minute I say, look, Nancy into Till, and other people will then see it. So growing up there, we stayed there for about 4 years. So my aunt, my paternal aunt, used to say, hey, lumdanu fani. A lot of people used to say that. I tend to ask questions that other children don't ever ask, you know. And I enjoy talking to adults more than children. And now I know, Uguti, there in the Eastern Cape, I saw the ancestors with my naked eye again as a family. But even when I saw them, then I went into the house and I told my aunt. She didn't say anything. That is the thing with Ama adults. Even when they know who you are, when they can see, Uguti, you are a healer, there was this resistance to groom you, to accept the fact that you are a healer. You know, because this is something that they've decided to run away from. Mm. So my aunt, instead, on that day, was ngenendlini ngespithi cima lo mlilo faki imbizo endlini masembeni siyolala.
Yebo.
You know, because ndandizibonile izihlwele ziyi-5 zihamba nenja.
Ulangaphi ngexesha?
Was doing standard 5. Which is like grade 7 now. So 13, I must have been 13.
12, 13.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know? And yeah, and a whole lot of things. And people used to joke about. Would say, I used to say, when I do things, like I'd be working, slamming apparently. You know, man, they were rough men. We'd be cooking, age 12, you're cooking outside. And I'm scared. And the next thing, in Bizaistri go, Benjisbeke apa, it's already here, and I,
Jan.
You know? Yeah, so there were scary experiences on. But again, come back to Soshanguve, Uma Utada says, come back, Bandona Bam, Yak Tandazela, at Sobi Pinti Klupe Lento. So whatever it is, it's called Lento, Sobi Pinti Klupe, so. Chapter closed, and then I'm fine. Then I grow up, go to school. There's always a prayer. Like Tanas, imi moinga ba shupa bantuan. But you are never told good imi moyete and linga van lang shupa bantuan until ba kabu fund. You know? So a suppression of the spirit. You know? It was effectively done. Mm. And I only know those things in retrospect. With time, man, what were they doing there? Yes, Babayas. I'm glad. I'm happy they did. Because, let's say, when I started to remember who I was, when my spirit started to rise, I was much older. Mm. I was a woman. I had 2 children at the time. I was doing my internship in clinical psychology.
And I guess maybe this is why your family was supportive.
Yeah.
Then, when you did have to toss it.
No, they didn't.
They weren't supportive.
No, they weren't supportive. Not even then. Yeah. So, but it helped, and I needed to know who I am. If you think about the fact that then I was rejected, because as a child I wouldn't have known how to deal with the challenges that I came across. You know, so the journey again was not easy because it was Malvuga. The year was 2005, and then I started the initiation, and the whole process took 7 years. because then twasumguni, twasumdawe, twasis profeti, twasis xhosa, you know.
And what this means is that you have all those lineages in your healing practice.
In my healing practice, yes, that's what it means.
Mm. In your being.
Mm. You know?
Okay.
And so how does your relationship with the clinical psychology merge with that?
It's easy. It's they all come from the same source. And perhaps some people say I'm different, I will practice differently as a clinical psychologist. I think it's a space that we can all tap into. We just need to some specific spiritual practices perhaps to get to that point. And how Idlozi got to voice, because then I started in my master's in clinical psychology first year, and I was in therapy, which then opens up your subconscious. So I could never deny it.
Mm.
You know? So there's a link there. The process, your therapy, can open your subconscious. And the process, it's meant to open it up. Because then when I started, during therapy, then I started remembering a lot of things. I started remembering stuff that happened when I was 2 years old and younger. Mm. And this is before I went to Ugyotwas. Then I went to through a transformation workshop conducted by Dr. Baruch Banai. And in that process, this is where I found out that I'm a healer. Because then it was Lavuka Lakhuluma in that space. And so right from the beginning, the two processes were integrated.
Yeah. Mm.
They were integrated. So it's not difficult to use the two. On Friday, I was a clinical psychologist this past Sunday. After 2-3 months of not seeing I'm a client, Zendumbeni, someone came on Sunday. So to make that transition from one side to the other, it's not difficult.
Mm.
And perhaps what makes me different then as a clinical psychologist, to which I can process what a very sick patient is presenting with. I don't know if it makes sense.
Can I ask a very basic, kind of maybe ignorant question? So are you able to see a patient from both perspectives? So if I were to walk in and the patient at Evista, from both perspectives, and how does that work?
Yeah, I can, but I make a conscious decision when I'm in the space where I'm a clinical psychologist, not to go deeper, not to look with the other senses, to use my mind a lot. Whereas Mangsendumbeni, I don't use my mind.
Mm.
I transcend the physical. This is what we do. So you go deeper. I transcend the physical realm. I go into the spiritual realm. And this is how I see. And this is how I will know what you're thinking. This is how I will know what brings you here. But when I'm in the clinical practice, clinical psychology practice, then I do not transcend into the spiritual realm. I sit there.
Yeah.
However, that does not change who I am.
Mm.
I might see some images that give me hints, and I might think of something, and before I ask a question, then the patient talks about exactly what the image that I saw, which is something that exists in clinical psychology. It is known, it is a well-known concept. This is how a patient and a psychologist communicate, you know. So it is there, but Masfiya was a scene too. It is much, much deeper and is beautiful. Mm. It is.
Mm.
So there's something that the Western psychology can learn from the African wisdom and how we do our therapy. There's a lot that they can learn.
Yeah.
And again, when it's another difference is the naming of things, you know. sometimes what we see as a normal way of being, they tend to pathologize it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying, this is normal.
Mm.
This is this a process that every individual should go through. We should be able to see ulele. You know, you should be. You should know. You should be able to see where you're going. So you are supposed to have insight as an adult. But on the other side, once you start saying, yeah, you know, I thought I dreamt about this. And sometimes your experiences, in fact, not sometimes, most of the time, people's experiences are pathologized.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe I'm looking forward to the day where psychology will be decolonized.
See as I have. But too low. But
where am I now? I took a long walk to get to where I am, where I embrace or value the importance of practice when it comes to spirituality. I'm at a place where I understand that when it comes to spirituality, input is equals to output. And that is expressed through the principles that we find in the institution of Ubungom, or in the spirituality of Ubungom. The deeper my initiation went, deeper as in I calculated from day one to the last day, I realized that Ubungoma is a pure scientific formula. And I realized that there's nothing that we do there that does not have a rational explanation or a logical explanation as to why it happens. I realized that most things were not being explained to me, or maybe to the everyday person, because to explain it is to almost to say to demean it, or to make it lose its power to a certain degree. Like Umama is saying, Guti, if I were to tell you Guti Bungoma is a scientific expression or scientific formula or scientific experience, then it would have to go through a process of being scrutinized, and in the process we might hurt it. So there's nothing wrong with definitely looking at it and, you know, exploring that aspect or its nature as a scientific experience. But obviously if our, you know, the pair of glasses that we're going to put on as we scrutinize it are obviously Western, then we are bound to mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I am, where I value logic, I value principle and reason. You can't say to me, Mangenze lento, because an ancestor says so. It has to be attached to a principle, and it has to make sense. And for me to get here, obviously, I also have a Christian background, where I grew up in church, and church is purely dogmatic, where we are supposed to mainly believe in people's experiences over ours. And Ubungoma, it's not like that. You won't survive if you're going to rely on other people's experiences. You have to walk the path yourself. So Ubungoma then created a new interest in science. I've never taken interest in metaphysics before while I was a Christian. Had never taken interest in quantum physics, but Ubungoma opened me up to that. And so that's where I am now, expressing spirit as a scientific formula, as a practical thing, you know. And so I try to balance between principle and action, because they go together. It's not enough to say that you believe in God. It has to be attached to certain daily practices, how you carry yourself, the food you eat, the kind of water you drink, because you understand that there are certain foods that possess energy that help the cell regenerate itself so that the cell can heal the body. You see where it's going now. It begins to include biology there. So that's what Ubungoma has done for me, and that's where I am now. that I'm embracing the collectivity of the all. You know, the ecosystem is the word.
Mm.
Yeah. So three principles: interdependent, interrelatedness, interconnectedness of the whole. Obungoma gave me that. And yeah, but I think, you know, in conclusion, for me, the greatest thing is Obungoma healing the guilt microchip that was inserted by dogma, that, you know, when you do one thing and it's wrong, and, you know, God is going to spank you, and you know, that keeps you at a very narrow understanding of existence. And Ubungoma has done that. It has healed that guilt microchip, and you are able then to experience life at a much wider spectrum.
I kind of want to ask a bit of a naughty question.
Go for it.
It's not naughty, but it just came up, so I'm just going to say it.
Mm.
If someone's listening to this from Australia or Iceland or Uganda, and they keep hearing us talk about Ubungoma, how does one sign up for Ubungoma in their own life without going through Utwasa? Is that a fair question?
That is a fair question in the light of evolution and progress, you know. One of my biggest things is to be able to give Ubungoma to everyday people so that an everyday person can wake up in the morning, sit for 15 minutes and ask themselves, one, Mpupeni, you know, what was my dream about? What did I... And if they don't remember, they need to say, okay, how do I fix the fact that I forget my dreams? That's the first thing. The second thing is, I'm going to be quiet and give thanks for life. And not say anything, but just in your heart, have the ability to generate a spirit of joy and thanksgiving. And just to say, you know, to existence, to God, to ancestors, to angels, I give thanks for life. And then in your final 5 minutes, you say that, you know, I enter this day or I enter this week with awareness in order for me to become a vessel of light, of peace, without so much focusing on self-judgment and being perfect, but to occupy my spaces with an awareness that life is a blessing and I'm here to serve. It has little to do with perfection, but with fully being present, you know, with humility and a spirit to serve. And I'd like to do that for people. So for me, that is then the basic template of Ubungoma when you wake up in the morning, to acknowledge the self, to acknowledge others, to acknowledge your entourage, that's your ancestors, to acknowledge the Creator. And then, shoop, you jump into the shower.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you know, you, these are the spiritual practices I was talking about. Because the more you practice them, they create awareness in you about who you are. And then you are able to hear the message, right, from your ancestors, from Uba in line, you know, with the entire universe. And I think this is what we're missing. As people. But kukhona ubungoma normally the term itself is used in a very narrow sense, referring to someone who is a healer.
I think this is what I wanted to understand.
Yes. Perhaps simply because a person who is a healer is that person who has proven ukuthi who aligned in that sense, and this person is used by the ancestors, né? as a medium, as a vessel. But I truly believe we all can achieve a certain level of that awareness. I think it is in us, all of us. It's a normal way of being in the world.
There's a depth and an understanding of yourselves in the world and your role and your purpose in the world. And one of the parts somehow we struggle talking about are the very basic parts of our humanity, so relationships, intimacy, sexuality. Mm-hmm. So that's the ground that we want to cover today.
Okay.
And how that relates to African spirituality. So isindlu, mm-hmm. as the part, I mean, you talk about Indaba, My Children, and people see you reading that and they think, mm-hmm. you're going crazy, as though there was nothing, as though we had never had a worldview about what family yeah. should look like, as though we never had a worldview about what intimacy looks like. So that's one part of what we want to talk about. And then we want to talk about the metaphysics of sex, because we think of sex as just a purely physical act, which I don't know where we got that message from.
Sexicity,
actually. Yeah, so the metaphysics of sex.
Yes.
As though physically you can't tell that there's a metaphysical thing happening yeah. here, but somehow, okay, we ignore it. Mm. And then we can't talk about intimacy and sex without talking about sexual violence in South Africa and what it's done to the most intimate parts of our lives and more the question of healing. And how we talk about that when we want to talk about this beautiful experience and these other spin-offs of intimate relationships and family.
Mm.
So, yeah, so that's just kind of mapping out where we're kind of going. But we're also going to go via where your work leads you and how your work informs some of that.
Mm.
Okay.
So we're going to be straddling, like, I guess, the personal and the work stuff, if that's okay. And obviously yes. you share based on where the spirit leads, in a sense. I'm not, yeah, the podcast is called Umoya, so kind of just go where the spirit leads.
Yeah.
So in kind of just getting into this, there are many schools of thought about what relationships, the purpose of relationships in our lives are, the purpose of intimacy in our lives, the purpose of family. And there are many worldviews and perspectives. And I'm just curious about what are your perspectives in relation to, it could be in relation to your personal life, if you've got any anecdotes, as well as your work, the work of healing. Mm. And what's the connection between those two things?
Of relationships.
Mm. Yeah, so relationships, intimacy. So what's your philosophy?
Mm.
You know?
So because I grew up in South Africa, my first impression of relationship was violence. Where two people come together to trap each other, and after we trap each other, then we're going to hurt each other.
Mm.
And one is going to walk out. If the one doesn't walk out, then one is going to die. And so I didn't like relationships. And so I grew up and then realized there was people tell you you're good looking. And you're like, okay, so this person is trying to relate with me. Even if it's not a relationship, it's jollo or anything. But this person wants to have a conversation with me based on the fact that there's something attractive that they see. And then I started becoming defensive because I knew that this thing, someone has to get hurt at some point. Violence needs to be part of the template. So as a result, I love people and I always love people. My dad was very bubbly. Dad used to help people. But there was just always this part of me that says, you don't become close to people because people are going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that's one of the reasons why what initiation did for me, it is to reintroduce me to relationships. And of course, there's that, Western understanding of relationships where we are taught with white people cool in public but when they fight. And I was like, it's a business that tell my relationships. So my initiation reintroduced me to relationships, because once, as I was giving that example to say, one day I just woke up and I just got emotional as I cried when I encountered myself. And I realized that in me shutting out the world and shutting out people, I was also creating a gap between myself and relating with myself. Mm-hmm. And probably 80% of my understanding of self was based on fear and rejection. I was rejecting myself.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, my initiation also initiated me into what it means to have a relationship with self and with others. Then it became castles in the air, far-fetched. Ooh, you can be with someone, respect each other, love each other, and it's like,
you know, and then you start seeing people who make it work.
Mm.
And then it becomes a shift for you. So for me, I have no other definition or explanation except for the one that my initiation gave me, to say relationships are a space for people to, one, get to know each other. You discover yourself through this relationship, and you help the other person discover themselves. Secondly, it is a space for healing. Thirdly, it is a space that we create for us to be able to become better. You know, what other people call evolution or spiritual growth. For me, it's those three things. And of course, it is a process that is facilitated by money.
Yes.
This is Umoya on African Spirituality, and we continue our conversation with our guests. So I want to come back to, I mean, we are going to come back to this, the tension between healing and violence.
Yes.
Because I think more often than not, I mean, people can get, we can talk about the statistics of intimate partner violence juxtaposed with this thing that can be healing and that does provide healing if done with the right. Yeah, I want to come back to that. But do you want to add anything?
So we're talking about relationships and sex at the same time. And as Umpo was speaking, I remember what yes, the early impression of sex, it's violence. You know? Umfana uzo shele ntombazana ngenkani amshaye amdonse. This is what we grew up seeing in social movement, umntwana amphulisa andla amdonsele kubo, and you know, and even during school trips and stuff, and this is what creates impression in your head. Good, actually relationship between a man and a woman is very violent. But for me, and I think that was lucky, I was lucky in that sense, because I grew up in a family where umama and dada were very close. And as a child, you see them as a couple, and you know you can't get between these two people. You know, and whatever they did together. You know? So you come home, you see your mom and dad, guso, and you look at your brother and his wife, and it's very violent then outside again. So I had this thing, Guti, the younger generation's relationships were very violent and aggressive.
And so maybe part of this conversation is like, how do we imagine or reimagine that space, right? Because now the norm seems to be that it's a space for violence.
Yes.
And trauma
and pain.
And wounding.
And so where do we look for what this thing can look like? Do we look in the past, or do we reimagine it?
I think we look in the past, eh? Because if you look at the family structure, and I think I was blessed in that sense, because then at the age of 10, we were taken to an Eastern Cape. And this is where I, for the first time, I got to know what actually, if family am is much bigger than the family that I know, as a Pitor, which is my mom, my dad, my sisters, and brothers. And then even in language, so I would say Usor and so is my relative, and they'd be quick to correct me. I'm a Nagayo relative, your family. You know? And they would explain to me what to law, Mdonaka, ban. So we are one big family, like a family I was called like villages and one is the scholar next door, and that sense of belonging to a bigger community, you know, it was beautiful. And knowing what if you're walking a stratton, you are not meeting with strangers who any adult, and we are you know. So for we still have that in villages, but I think we need to do what? People should not lose it, because people, I've noticed even with my family, those who later moved to Gauteng, we are not as close as we used to be there, where we ate from the same big
bowl. Mm. As children, banbeke lapha ni 10 and you share this meal together. Now we here in Johannesburg omnye nomnye wenza into yakhe. So we're losing it.
So how does how does this community setting where umuntu ngumuntu ngabantu and you are part of something bigger start at the relationship level, like at the boyfriend and girlfriend. Ujola. Ujola naban. Like ujola wedwa. At which point do you realize, but actually this is something bigger? When do you invite the spirit? Does, you know, how should you be?
Because right? And yeah, it's like where does the spirit begin and end in all process. Of that? If when we were introduced into a family structure through spirituality and that whole narrative.
You see? Even then you understand what your family does not end with these people who are alive. Because then when you embelege, which will introduce my ancestors, so your understanding of family, your family structure, goes beyond the living relatives that you have. Then you know, and then they take you to a grave site and they show you, you know. So the question of how do we, interestingly, and I think this is a beautiful phenomenon, we're seeing more and more young people wanting to learn more about African spirituality. And that's a beautiful thing. So we need to nurture it, you know. And instill certain values, because indaba ye sex was never into yokudlala.
What is sex?
We'll get to the question. It was never about that. And relationships were never intended to be violent, to be aggressive, you know. So yeah, I truly believe that they can still be healed. And I think perhaps the answer that we have is integrating the indigenous knowledge systems with the Western one. Because we can't say it's a real infant, you know.
That's what you would
We just need to integrate it.
Okay, so maybe let me try and ask this in another way. So understanding that the rationale that our ancestors created around relationships was so that the family unit, this extended family unit, could exist instead of a nuclear family unit, which is what we have today in the modern era. Let's say now I want to reconnect with that. How do I enter a relationship? What should I invite into my life in terms of how I understand relationships in order to, so that ibe njelendo? Because at the moment, we're just in relationships alone. And it's not our fault. We grew up kind of, there was interjections and interventions from other cultures, and you read Cosmo and you watch Sex and the City and you have boyfriends and or girlfriends, and you kind of, there's no education really around how to be in a relationship. And I think that the question I want to ask or get at is, how do we look at relationships from another perspective so that we don't feel like we're stranded? I feel like I'm stranded in this, and I think many people do. You go from one relationship to another, and it's kind of like, what is the meaning of this? Is there another way that our ancestors have done this? And if there is, how do we bring that into the 21st century so that we enter consciously, knowing that relationship it's something for healing? I didn't know that. I thought ujola because kumnandi, and it's what's expected of you, and you're going to get married.
And you must have a boyfriend.
And he must be romantic. He must do nice things for you. He must buy you flowers. He must take you on holiday. And kind of this very surface level understanding of relationships. So what's actually behind all of that?
To answer your question on where do we, you know, how do we begin to create new relationships, I think we need to go back to a point where we say spirituality is not a Sunday thing, because Western culture and church taught us that spirituality is about Sunday, and then from Monday to Saturday then we can do
whatever you want.
But for us as African people, spirit is every day. It's a moment to moment thing. For me, it starts there. Secondly, it starts at saying, what makes me happy, what fulfills me? And I need to find someone that complements my values, that when I come into a space with you, I don't lose myself, but I feel one, obviously there's that complementary energy. Two, there's balance. Three, this thing enhances who I am. Now, at this level, we have not spoken about who your ancestors are.
Yeah.
We have not spoken about do you believe in God or not. We have not spoken about istarazelo sagini. Okay, at least you do ask someone's surname so that you don't find yourself dating your cousin. But besides that, we are feeling, I call it feeling each other out.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Do we, just by just being in each other's presence, do we click, you see?
Mm.
And for me, that's spirit, that's energy.
Mm.
The way that someone holds your hands and you're like, ah, la, there's magic. For me, that's spirit. Yeah. You understand?
Yes, it is.
And then by the time we sit down to us, so where are you from? We have already done so much spirituality without working hard, without saying much. And then this is where we say, okay, where are you from? Stukosagini, this is when we get deep in adult care. And that process, we don't deny the fact that, for example, as a guy, I get attracted by how someone looks on the outside, right?
Mm.
And the reason we sit down is because the lady wants to find something of value emotionally for her to be attracted to me, isn't it? So once we start sitting and talking, you know, we have felt each other out, we have seen Uguti, that process must not be interrupted by sex.
Mm.
Okay? It's not time for sex.
Mm.
For us to go out for drinks and please get this poor lady home safe now that she's tipsy. It's not time for sex, because then sex is another chapter. Okay?
Mm.
And then during the time, we need to ask the right questions. Hopefully, we are honest with each other.
Mm.
What fulfills you? So we sit down like, what do you do?
Yeah.
You know, it puts people under pressure to paint pictures that are not there. You know, you simply ask questions that matter. What makes you happy? Mm. If it is important to you to want to know where I will be in 5 years, ask that on a date.
Mm.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years? If it doesn't matter for you, don't ask it.
Mm.
Meaning, don't ask something that is irrelevant. You understand? Because I feel like we go on dates to make impressions.
Mm. Yes.
You ask questions that have nothing to do with what you... I mean, you know, some people go... You know you just want to have sex with this person. But you get there, you get deep and you ask... For me, that's not spirituality. That's just performing.
Mm.
Spirituality is like, embed, I want to be in a relationship, but I'm afraid. What am I afraid of? I'm afraid of getting hurt.
Mm.
Conversation comes from that. Healing comes from that.
Mm.
We've been speaking for 2 hours... We've not been dating, we haven't kissed, we haven't had sex, but that space has got so much meaning.
Deeply,
you understand?
Mm.
For me, that's what spirituality and relationship is about. It's about appearing in the moment authentically.
Mm. I want to read something, because you're touching on to something that Sobhonfu Somay writes about in The Spirit of Intimacy. She says there's a spiritual dimension to every relationship, no matter what its origins, whether it is acknowledged as spiritual or not. Two people come together because spirit wants them together.
Mm.
What is important now is to look at the relationship as spirit-driven instead of driven by the individual.
Mm.
It's exactly like...
Yeah.
And for her, that's an ancient practice that's been passed down over time.
Mm.
And I like the kind of the ease with which you're talking about, like Sikambi's Debs. So we go to the sex and the other stuff.
Yeah.
Before you've just done the preliminary stuff, that's the healing, which then allows you to show up in the sex part, in the physical intimacy part. So yeah, that really makes me think about, like, when did we complicate this, though? But
you see, as I'm sharing, for me, that's how I got to define my definition of sex.
Mm.
I mean, a relationship. So you...
Well, now you have to tell us your definition of sex.
Now you're going to have to get
this. Hey, but... So when I get into a space with someone, for me that matters. I need to see whether this person has a capacity to be a healer.
Mm.
And being a healer is not about being initiated.
Mm.
Can you listen?
Yeah.
And after I've spoken, can you show me that you've been listening?
Mm.
That's what you're looking for.
Mm.
And when I see what you don't have a quality of listening, then I know this relationship won't work.
Yeah.
You understand? Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more like understanding the self, what works for you, what fulfills you, what comes first before you, before what.
Even
if it's utandi mali, please put it number one so that I know. You understand?
Yes.
Yeah. For me, that's what spirituality is about, to appear authentically.
Mm.
Can I share an anecdote about something that happened today?
Yeah.
Mm.
So today I went for, I accompanied a friend of mine who went for a consultation with a healer. And she's a young woman, similar to me, like she's in her 30s. And she was kind of embarrassed at first to ask this question to the healer, but she was kind of like, you know, what's happening with me and relationships? Like, I seem to get into relationships and they don't work and they don't last, and I feel like now I'm taking it personally, like ingathindi nesichitho, or there's something. And a lot of people are going through that, young women and young men, where you get into relationships where you're like, hey, ingathi mina ngiqaliselwe, or something, there's something that is like a curse on me or whatever. And the healer said to her, in the reading, these two grandfathers have been with her for a long time and they will always be with her. And they are playing a role in this kind of blockage between her and the relationship. And she kind of was like, are they jealous? And he was like, in a way, they're kind of jealous. And he explained to her that in order for her to, she needs to have a deeper understanding of herself first before she gets into a relationship. So these old men are like, first you need to get to know us. By getting to know us, you know yourself.
Yes.
So that when you are ready to be in a relationship, you are entering the relationship with a level of self-knowledge that then puts you on your purpose and your path.
Yes.
Not lentuma nungenu bamba, going from this to the, which is what a lot of us do. And I just thought that is such a profound, important way to understand how the spirit, the ancestral, the numinous plays a role in the everyday, which then also empowers you as the individual to say, oh, okay, let me first do this project of self-knowledge where I go and research who are my ancestors, who are my people, so that this is Zazba, I'm the best, not just anything that comes.
But again, this is a key important, this is a main thing, with African spirituality. You are not an individual. So when you get into a relationship, it is not only you who's getting into a relationship. It's you and your ancestors. It's a relationship between clans. So that is why people, if they will always be told, it's because you are never alone. You know, and they will say idlozi alimfuni lo muntu. And remember, kuthi idlozi, it's not only the umkhulu lo maziyo, you know, it is also your higher self. So your higher self, you're connected with your biological ancestors, and your higher self and the whole team.
There's a whole ecosystem.
There's a team, people. There's a team.
You know? So your soul will take you to someone who will help you grow in a way, because this is what your soul needs. And that is why you'll get into this relationship, because we're not, we begin physical attraction or wealth, or we'll say this person is educated, and this is your mind choosing. You're choosing a partner based on that. You're not listening to what your soul wants. And it also happens sometimes a couple will get divorced and you'll get married and the relationship is difficult. And but from divorce, this is for life. So your spirit has met its partner, and there is something that you need to learn in this relationship so that you can grow. So the friction is caused, it's your process of growth. But it's now when it's difficult, you want to leave.
That's true.
But let's talk more about marriage though, because there's like the general narrative of Black South Africans are not getting married.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, people are doubting, you know.
Or, so you compare the numbers compared to Muslim people, young people, compared to white people, and you look at those numbers. So I'll paint a picture. So there's the numbers of who's getting married, right? Then there's the numbers of who's getting divorced. Then there's the numbers of who are the people who are having children. So out of family. And I don't mean that in the conservative sense, yes, but out of the holding space, right? Mm. So what does that tell us about what's happening when we look at that picture? And what does that tell us about isiNtu sethu and where we reimagine and go to the past? And
I think it comes from the fact that we have lost ourselves.
Mm.
You know? That's for me, that's the saddest thing, Ubuti. As black people, we have lost ourselves so much. When you are confronted with yourself, like you being called to become a healer, you become so scared and you reject yourself and you run away. It starts from there.
You being called to be a healer? Was that an example?
Pardon?
Hmm?
Are you being called to be a healer? Or
No.
That's an example.
As an example. You, as
the generic you.
Generally, you, all of us, we run.
Sure.
And so there's a... We reject ourselves. Mm. So if you are not complete, how are you going to get into a relationship with the other person? Because you don't know yourself. You don't even know what one... Umbo was talking about... you should know who you are, which is something that you got to know it during your initiation. Mm-hmm. And you are lucky because it happened in your 20s.
Mm.
And then you will know.
I can still find a wife.
Yeah, and yes, you can. Because then you know your values, you know your principles, you know what is important for you. It's a spirituality. If someone is alienated from herself, so that person is going to cause you pain.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
So perhaps that is why people are not getting married, because we so alienated from ourselves.
Yeah, and also, I mean, because of what we started with when you see marriage as a negative, when you see violence in it, when you see pain, when it's a site of trauma and pain, you don't understand it, you want to distance yourself from it.
Mm.
And I think it just comes from ignorance. If there's a different picture of what is the rationale behind how this marriage has been designed for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years.
And at a metaphysical level.
Exactly. On a metaphysical level, when you start to understand that when I'm in a relationship, it's not just for me and my boyfriend or my husband, for us to romance each other. And it's not about me and him.
Yeah,
it's actually, there's a bigger purpose. Then I think people will have a different relationship to this idea of marriage. I mean, my parents told me and my siblings, and they were married for a long time and they were deeply in love, and it was wonderful to be brought up in a household where there was a lot of love. Both of them said to me, to us, we should have contractual marriages. We should have limited, like, 5-year marriages, so that we allow for all the time for the change that happens to each individual. And we don't feel locked into this thing, which is kind of a contradiction, because my parents are very traditionalist. They are very deep believers and practices of anything to do with isiNtu. And so I wonder where this came from, with where this idea of you don't have to lock yourself into this thing, it's not the most important thing.
But I think it came because it was contractual in that sense of we sending gomozit but umqakile umntana wethu, you know, in the case where when a marriage does fall apart. So there were ways in which there was a fluidity with it, because people were, they had built the relationship.
Yes.
And so on umkhosi nam umkhosi and then ten nang umntana you do mad don't impact a guy. And so
precious.
So you know, and when this doesn't work out, people can say, I guess I'm going to wait, because besides for millennium, so it's always been a contract.
It's always
been
like that. Yeah.
It's just that ngoku asayenzi lobola asiyazba yindoni sicingfana ba yinto yosuku 2-3 days, but it's actually a lifelong thing of building obabuhlobo between the two families. And so we don't want to do the work, actually.
We don't want to do the work
of building.
Yes.
Because I've been thinking about, I mean, in Xhosa, and I don't know about other languages, there's the word ukuchata, umendo, and...
Gwendo.
I wrote it down. Umchato, umendo. I forgot the third one. But umendo, ukwanda, umzi.
Mm.
And the third one, dinomzi. And so all those three, ukuchata sounds like the day, you know, ukuchatile, siya emchatweni. So it's the event.
It's an event, yeah.
Umendo. We andisa. What do you do, Osandisa? You stretch.
Expand.
And expand. Expand. And then, what was, did I say the third one was?
Umzi.
Umzi. Umzi uqala phansi. And people will tell him, da uqala phansi lo
mzi. Yes, yes.
You know?
Yes.
And the pride that comes from da uqala phansi lo mzi. But what was funny, and how complex it is, it's so forward, it says red. So, how is this
duplex.
Thing? Duplex, guys. And We've done nothing. So we've done no work.
But all we want to do is
does he bring me flowers?
Yes.
Romance.
And what is romance?
It's a masquerade.
Like,
oh my god,
I was flawed. Where is it? Because I mean, I was just like, what, are you kidding me? The illusion of romance. Romantic love is an attraction that cuts off spirit and community, leaving two people to invent a relationship by themselves.
Yeah.
It is the opposite of a relationship that lets spirit be the guide. I'm so shook. Romance ignores all the stages of a spiritual coming together, where we begin at the bottom of the mountain and gradually travel in unison to the top. It does not leave room for the true identity of the people involved to show through. It fosters anonymity and forces people to masquerade.
You know, you masquerade performance.
Yes, yeah, performance.
Alain de Botton says that romanticism is the enemy of love.
It really is.
Yeah. It is. Because then you are authentic in this relationship. Mm. It's like there's a Bible that you're reading or a book somewhere that says, well, this is how you should behave in a relationship. You should buy flowers, you must give your money, and the wife as well, you must do 1, 2, 3. But there is no emphasis on spiritual connectedness.
And building. That walk
and understanding that this thing is so sacred.
And there's a deliberate exclusion of other people. Even if it's like, yeah, it's none of your business. This is our thing. Yeah, but somebody's saying,
where I was going with this thing is what you're sharing with me, what with us, about your parents, what your parents did.
Mm.
And I just forgot how she phrased it. Or what's missing, I think. I think ritual is missing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know? Ritual. So what your parents did was to create a ritual space to prepare you for a certain decision. So that when you take the decision to be with someone or to get married, it's not something that you do out of panic and out of lack of understanding. So what your parents did was to create a ritual where we need to sit someone down.
Mm.
No pressure, no boyfriend in the picture. You haven't been abused yet. You're not Gugu Gaga over someone. But we're saying we need to prepare this person for something. There was no slaughtering of a goat. There was no Mamkulu in the picture, no Ujwala. It was just a simple sitting down with you and saying, look here. And for me, that's what we don't have.
Yeah.
You know? Things are being done in a rush. You're going to meet a guy, date them for 16 months or whatever. And then once you're deep into this thing, and then you ask for a ritual to prepare you for a relationship, and you're deep into this thing.
Already.
Now we must do damage
control. And you've had sex and everything as a child already.
Yeah, you see, your ancestors have come together.
Mm.
I mean, I work with clients, and it's a couple, and they, you know, when they meet and they realize they're going to get married, and they say, okay, but no babies before marriage. They're like, yeah. Mm. And then they start getting comfortable with her, and the baby's involved, and then they say, okay, abortion.
Mm.
Then you have an abortion, and then you still want to get married.
Mm.
You see, because there was no ritual. So for me, when we talk about African spirituality and relationship and what's missing, is that, for example, 5 years. It's interesting that your parents pick 5 years. Every 7 years, umundia change. If you and I are together, every 7 years, our relationship is going to go through an acid test. Okay? So on the 7th year, I'm going to change, you're going to change, the chemistry of relationship begins to change.
Mm.
We're going to fight, naturally.
Mm.
And this is when relationships become a decision to say, I love this person enough to go through this process with them.
Yeah.
So I need to, you need to be set down to say, look, after 7 years, you're going to grow up. This relationship is going to grow up. You need to prepare for that. Okay? When it hits you, it's not going to be a surprise.
Mm.
For example, I was born 14th of May, which is right in the middle of Taurus and Aries. Okay? Are you Taurus?
Yes.
So, when you speak about metaphysics, okay? So, I'm going to be fully Taurus from age 0 to probably 27. 28, going up, energies of Aries are going to start kicking in. 47, 48, other energies are going to kick in. You understand? It's things that you need to teach people in a ritual context. Mm. That look, when you're getting into this thing, I'm a healer now. I've got about in my entourage. I've got about what five ancestors that are healers that are helping me in my work. They all take turns, and they take turns. Some weekly, some years.
Sometimes.
You know.
No.
This guy is waiting for me to grow up.
Oh, wow.
You know, there are certain things I still need to master. I need to prove that I can listen.
Mm.
I need to prove certain things for this guy. Mm. He's my guide, but I still need to earn his respect or his presence in my life. You understand? What happens when this old man rocks up and I'm 47 and you are, what, whatever age?
Mm.
And you're like, I want to go to Paris. And let's lo nyaka asindawo. Uhlala endlini. Sayimithi asindawo. You understand? You want to buy a flight ticket, we're going to go to holiday on Paris. Ngithi kuwe, hey, nali idlozi alifuna ukuhamba, lithi makuvalwe, makuvalwe emagcekeni akuhanjwa. You understand? We didn't prepare you for this thing.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You're going to take your phone, update your status and on some relationships are a burden, and you roll your eyes. And friends are going to buy into that thing. They're like, ah, leave that bastard to me. That person is just fully look here. You worked hard for your life. You understand? Superficiality.
Yes.
So let's talk about sex, though. We've kind of been like coming back to it because it is at the core of this. And how, and I don't want to talk about it as we've messed it up because, again, you know, it's not that. Is that, so there's the narrative of sexual freedom, Sex in the City. This is my body. This is what I want to do.
Ho is life.
Ho is life. It's a whole thing, right? We've got a brand around it.
And to even have a counter narrative against ho is life, people say you're problematic because your feminism is limiting.
What's problematic after this?
I know.
It's not why it tweets in those bonnie comments, but silabo.
Who
is life? Kumnandi. So now, what are the spiritual implications of this cultural climate?
Now, sorry, Mama.
I'm
Taurus,
yes.
And sex is like one of my favorite subjects. So, but I'm not going to be long because I'd like some ancient wisdom as well. Look, every person that you sleep with, you've slept with before, okay, in
what
your past life. So, context is, we do reincarnation.
Yeah.
This is not the first time we come. Okay? So, in the context of reincarnation, anyone that you sleep with, you've slept with them before. So, one. Two, you came into this particular incarnation or this episode of your life because your soul asked for it. Okay? There are things that you your soul wants to learn. As a result, you're going to go through certain experiences. If you, spiritual growth or evolution is just one, choosing differently. You and I meet and we have this sexual attraction. Question is, are we going to do this again or not? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's the first time we meet, we liked each other, training or at work or whatever, and we agree that you and I, sorry, Mama, if you deserve a quarter.
No.
You have a man or you married or whatever. Ho is love. Question is, do we want to do this again? And that's why the soul brought us here to this moment. You understand? This is where the spirituality of sex comes in, and the spirituality of sex and the sexuality of spirit. Okay? To say that when you are presented with an opportunity to have sex with someone that you are not married to, do you want to do this again? Because once you start doing it, angry people will check each other and say, "Who is life now?" Like, we had sex. Oh, you know what happened. Boring. I don't want to do him. I'm going to look for someone else. This is like a millionth. You're doing this. It's not the first time you're doing this. Do you want to do this again? So for me, it's not even about wrong or right or morality.
No.
But in the context of growing up, being a better person, evolution, do you want to do this again? It takes 3 months to build cords. You have someone with sex straight 3 months, you build a cord, you get connected through your third eye, through your heart chakra, and that sacral chakra. Okay? Mm. You guys get connected. This is when you start dreaming about them. Mm. And then when they start cheating, you also get to dream about that stuff. Mm. Because you guys have that cord, right? If he's not being honest with you about his polygamous nature, for example, if he's polygamous and he's got someone on the side and he's been shagging that person for 6 months or for years, he picks up her demons or her whatever.
Mm.
They pass through to you.
Yeah.
And then you start dreaming of an old man that is always asking for a blue datsen. And you come to me like, hey, I'm like, what those? Then I check the bones and I see nothing. You're picking up stuff that has nothing to do with you. That's why I'm saying it is about appearing in the moment authentically. If you know that you're polygamous or polyamory, say it. Because you're going to be downloading stuff that has nothing to do with your life and you don't even know that. It's worse now because you don't even believe in cleansing.
Let me
stop here. And
yeah. When you are spiritually connected with your partner, that person, even if anyega cheat, anyega have heavy sex with the other person, the minute abane interest someone, there's a possibility you will dream about that.
Yeah.
You want to pick it up.
Anyway, I think it's just a dream.
But are these regular people?
Regular people.
No, okay, because people seem to think that no one has access to this unless you're like spiritually.
No. Actually, when we're talking about the African spirituality, we're not saying our healers only are the ones who experience it.
Everybody.
Yeah. We like that as human beings.
Okay.
So it will depend on your awareness. Are you aware of your dreams? Are you paying attention? Are you dismissing what you are dreaming about? And sometimes you just imagine, you get a sense. Most of the time, the intuition is right. We are all intuitive.
Hmm. Tell us about cleansing.
Yeah. Look, is it possible? Like, so now, let's say you've gone through life and you've had different relationships,
yeah,
and you've been polyamorous and you went through the whole life phase, you did all of that. How do you then get to a point where you're like, okay, I now want to be conscious going forward and also let go? Kind of undo.
Like disconnect with all these spirits.
Because you carry the spirits and the energies with you unconsciously or subconsciously.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is possible to do a cleansing. However, Ama rituals that are performed, they are different, you know, because as Africans we are diverse, and Ama rituals now they also fluid, they change over time, and especially in Gauteng we are people of different tribes and different cultures. However, there are certain things that are common. Guguma cleansing rituals. You know? For example, it is common to be taken to a river, maku perform that ritual, and herbs will be used, and sometimes either a chicken or a goat or whatever will be slaughtered. So guguma nama variations here and there. But yes, it is possible to cleanse a person and remove those energies.
Mm-hmm.
Like after a rape, for example, you don't want to be carrying this violent energy with you, violent sexual energy with you, because what it then does, it attracts another violent sexual energy.
Mm-hmm.
That is why you'll find a person who has raped, who had a number of repeated incidents, especially if that person was not cleansed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Abstinence is an important part in cleansing.
Mm.
Yeah. That you have to mourn, like he says, Oguzo Jeroguto, you need to abstain from sex. You can't just jump from one person to the other. You need to have that period, abstinence, where your spirit is always going to be purified. So it's not like you're going to wash and you're so sharp then tomorrow you can be with the other person. It doesn't happen like that.
This is Umoya on African spirituality, and we continue our conversation with our guests.
Can you talk a little bit more about sexual energy? What is it?
Sexual energy, do you want to go first, Mama?
Yeah, it's a complex subject, and it sounds like when are you very thing with it. Like, for me, it's difficult to know how do you separate from sexual energy and spirituality,
mm-hmm.
because they are all come from the same
source,
from the same source, from the same spot. Like makuvuka idlozi livuka from the same spot.
Have you felt that it's orgasmic?
Yeah, it is orgasmic. Yeah. So it is orgasmic.
It is
orgasmic. And hence people make those sounds.
Yeah.
It is orgasmic.
It is.
So how do you separate the two? For me, it's one thing. It's up to you how you want to use this energy. The sexual energy, or sexual, or sexual, or spiritual energy, it's up to you. And you will know Ugote is the same energy, because when you are being initiated, you are not supposed to have sex. And even if you're going to perform a ritual, you need to abstain from sex. And the reason that will be given Ugote, it will make you feel weak, you won't be able to see, if like Uzoyosebenza is a healer, so which means you're going to lose something when you have sex. You're going to lose your power. The same power that you're going to use when you heal.
Mm.
So it's the same energy.
It's a life
energy.
Force.
Yeah.
It's a life force.
Mm.
So when we're having sex, we play with a life force. And hence you say, it's more than I'm a sperm. It's more than that. That is the life force. And interestingly, igama le sperm ngesixhosa into idlozi. The same word that is used in isiZulu to refer to your ancestor, your higher self. Our language is so deep.
Yeah, it points you in a direction.
The fact that the same word is used to refer to the life force in different form.
In different languages?
In different forms. Two Nguni languages use the same word to refer to a life form. Mm. The life energy. Life energy in a different form. As sperm?
Yes.
We know nothing.
We know nothing.
So you are a daughter to your parents. And to your siblings' children, you are aunt, for example. And to your boyfriend, you'll be girlfriend. And work, you'll be colleague. But you're still the same person with different names.
Mm.
Okay? Depending on the role that you're playing. So sexual energy, when it's in your body, in your spine, feels umbilin. Some cultures call it Ra. Ancient African traditions also call it the Holy Spirit. So for us, Holy Spirit is not something that falls from the sky per se, but it's also within us.
In your body.
Okay? Mm. And then when you start using it to do work, when you get physical, you use energy, Musangit. It's called Amandla.
Mm.
But it's just taking a different, then it's called Amandla.
Mm.
And then you have sex, and then it's OT, Moya, or whatever. But it is the same thing.
Mm.
We wouldn't be here if it were not for sexual energy. Mm.
It creates.
It's creative. So you had to call people around to call us here to say.
Mm.
So for us to be here, it is an act of sex. It is a sexual moment.
Mm.
Okay? Because we used what? Energy. Amandla.
Mm.
If we take it deeper, then we say umbilini.
In fact, there's no umbilini before Zingeli.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want us to realize how here sex is.
It's everywhere. All the time.
Everywhere. Understand? So to answer your question, that's what sexual energy is. It is a creating or a creative force.
So the movement here in Italy, by Pizarro.
Who is life?
Yeah.
So they are using
the sexual energy in a wrong way, and it comes from a painful place.
Absolutely.
It comes from being wounded and not knowing how to heal yourself, because then if you are not healed, you become destructive.
Yeah.
It's either you destroy other people or you self-destruct.
Yeah.
You know, so. they are not empowered. They are destroying themselves. They are hurting themselves after they have been hurt.
So how do we heal? Because we need to heal.
And how, so that we can see sex positively as this powerful, beautiful, expressive.
It's conversations. It's conversations like this where we educate each other about what sexuality is, you know, and what is the reason for being in relationships. You know, we have lost the family structure where people would sit around the fire, you know, and talk during dinner. We don't do that anymore. So yes, we use it. Twitter should be used differently. It should be used for that purpose. Mm. You know, maybe there should be another movement that is educating people about this. Yeah,
healing.
And I think that's the biggest challenge of African spirituality, particularly to Sangoma. I normally say to Sangomas, you are not Sangoma Yendumba. You're stuck in your Ndumba. When you're out of your Ndumba, then you probably want to be there for show off. So that people can
see you go to
and you go around and you're burping and that's it. We can't have that situation because spirituality that does not work is very brutal in its approach, spreading ignorance. And you just want to come here and smoke your snuff and burp. You know?
It's sad. And drink
as well. This alcohol abuse that happens. So we need, as healers, we need to be able to position ourselves as, you know, institutions of learning. You know, I'm not saying because our people like free knowledge. You know, people don't want to pay for knowledge. I mean, if you ask someone how much they had to pay to get initiated, it's a lot of money. So valuing ourselves as healers means we are saying to people, value yourself and value the institution enough to invest money in it. So that, because there's no knowledge without money, unfortunately, you know. So it's about us, self-respect. Yeah. That's where it starts, and us creating educational spaces.
Yes. I think these are interesting times to live in because a lot of people want to invest themselves. And people are going for yoga classes. People are not. They do pay for these things, but izangoma, yizo, that needs. We need to organize ourselves, like, and open those institutes of learning and stuff, and be vocal about it. Because if you go on the internet, and I tried to do that today, you go on the internet, there's very little information on African spirituality. And whatever you find there, it's not written by Africans. And when you read it, it's like, ah, man, who told you this? They lied to you. You know,
I was looking to be initiated into the tradition of Tantra. And I went on the internet looking for a Tantra school. And it's all Western Tantra teachers. I'm like, I'm looking for an Indian here, a Chinese person to teach this stuff.
Shakti Malan. Did you come across Shakti Malan?
Hey, you know, and it's all people who are not coming from the lineage who just run with the stuff and they
commodify it.
Yeah.
No, even Nobungoma, you find people who are like, oh, okay, so we're making money here.
Although I do believe that once a tradition that comes from a particular part of the world transcends that part of the world, it then becomes something that the rest of humanity can learn from, can practice. I think that's when it's really successful, when it transcends where it comes from and then becomes, you know, actually I was also looking for, you know, Tantra in South Africa, and I found this woman and her book, Shakti Malan, and it was the closest thing to India that I could find. And, you know, if I'd carried on in that path, I might have gone all the way.
So I think, you know, from something about you, you want to do it Tantra, and we have something similar in Africa.
Speak. No, Tantra is ours.
Tell us.
No,
Tantra. Yeah. Okay, guys, tell us.
Ours.
Ubungoma is Tantra.
And what is in,
Ubungoma is Tantra.
You know? And so you don't have, maybe your subconscious is telling you, what this is what you need to do.
And then maybe that's why I didn't finish it too, because I'm a bit distant. Okay, can you, is there such a thing? What is it called?
There's similar practices, you know. I'm looking at you and say, is this a space safe enough? Is it okay to talk about these things? But like, so kuna leyo challenge. But it is good to know, ukuthi, ma uthwasa umndawo or ma kuvuka umndawo, ne? it's not something that happens only to Africans. In other cultures, it is called something else, but the experience is the same. So, Tina, for example, the fact that both of you do not know about this says we are not teaching people about our own spirituality.
We aren't, though.
No.
That's why you have to look on the internet and
yes.
search.
No, and no, we
go
are
see
not.
A few bad sangomas who don't know what they're talking about or who mislead you and frighten you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so we are living in very interesting times where this knowledge has to be preserved.
Yeah.
But and obviously it has to come through the right vessels, where, not right vessels, but through people who look at it with
through
responsibility and care. And so that because we say Dingam Tlabendland,
it's needed.
Honestly.
But I'll tell you this one thing. Water spirit. So we are a composition of fire, that's right. Water, fire, earth and air. So your water spirit is in your womb and is in your vagina. Your water god. Because as you are, you're a multidimensional being.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a part of you that is in the water. So this water being is called Ndao. Mm-hmm. That's one history. There's another one that is taught in the tradition of Vungo. Gosh, I'm having a deja vu. So, Ndao loves money. So when you go doing Hoa's laugh, you must understand that you're also donating your wealth and money energy. Your Mundao will support you with money if you have correct sex with correct people.
Well said. Because I was thinking, how do I put this?
Well, it's really important to make the connection.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they are linked. There is a relationship between
yeah.
sex, power, and money. And better we understand this thing rather than with ignorance.
So it takes us back to the importance of your family. So if you know who you are, who your ancestors are, who your lineage is, and go back and learn about your family and do your thing.
And if you don't know them, there are ways to
yes.
find out, to learn, to study, to put in the effort, to do the
yeah.
homework. Luckily, there are technologies, African technologies that have survived all of the onslaught of abuses
yes.
that we've been through that exist today, where you are able to tap into that true self. I keep imagining, just talking about this idea of healing and how we are going to take ourselves really into the next level of who we are as individuals. Aboskot, I keep imagining reconciliation rituals. Things that we do, can do, to kind of acknowledge the fact that something was done to you, something was separated from you. When you were born, you died, and when you lived, you didn't really live to your optimum level in this, you know, a growing up. And so when you are ready to surrender to the higher self, to Idlo's Lak, or to the real information, the universal laws instead of the man-made laws, that there should, I wish we could invent or create things, as people who are having this conversation right now, who are being shown these things, kind of a reconciliation ritual, a door that somebody has to go through, so to welcome them into this world. Because for a lot of people, it's frightening, they've been told all kinds of things about it, they've tried to go to, you know, to connect and see sangomas, and they've had very frightening experiences. And so I wish we could get to a point where we could say, okay, here is a ritual to reconcile you with your true self. And then you walk, you can go this new journey, down to even Ukutia, a new name. A name that you're going to carry and say, okay, Gogo, Bengadi Ndingu Jessica, Oganya Bengadi Ndingu Linda, Oganya Bengadi Ndingu Komoto, Dingalo Wayangalo Gambali Tina. Now I'm consciously walking and saying, Dingu Smangman.
Yes.
And now I am kind of whole again.
Wholeness.
Because we didn't do that in our country. After everything we've been through, there was very little done to facilitate healing between each other and ourselves. And so I'm like, how do we expect to heal each other? I mean, to heal between the races and the genders and all these dynamics? Because right now we're entering into a stage of, like, gender apartheid, which has been there, but now it's, like, heightening. And so how do we reconcile that? How do we enter that? And I feel like as people who are educated, who are exposed, we need to come together and think
and
okay,
spiritual.
Guys,
yeah.
And spiritual. What rituals can we create for ourselves?
Because that conversation can get hijacked.
To then kind of re-enter. And stop being in the back seat of your life and get into the driver's seat with other people who are also in their driver's seat, so that the consciousness can rise and love can spread and you know all this stuff.
So are you in it, were you initiated to trust it?
No.
You see what I'm talking about?
Because the assumption is that you need to be trusted in order
to
have this enlightenment.
You don't. It is this thing that you connected with your heart.
The purpose.
Yeah, with what evokes compassion. So this idea comes.
Yeah, but also...
That's spirituality.
Now when you were telling your story, you were drawn to the path, you know? So Azan will be aware of these things after you were initiated.
True.
You know?
True.
So I think a lot of people are doing the same thing. We suppress... This intuition, you know, and we keep looking for ourselves outside instead of going within, because this is where you are. Everything that you want is here.
Any closing comments, Ms. Masola?
Kluti. Moya on African Spirituality is created by Atambile Masola and Melissa Thando Bongela, together with our producer Kagiso Mnisi, Nobakazi Manzi, the executive producer, and our editor Siphamandla Yende.
Umoya on African Spirituality is a Kaya FM podcast. Look out for new episodes every second Thursday on kayafm.co.za. Follow Kaya FM on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for updates. Mama wami, 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 mama w